singer-songwriter Matt Blyton is our featured performer here today on WKAR's Live Music Friday. It is, of course, Current State. More from Matt Blyton. Matt's accustomed to performing in a band setting, I think probably more often solo, but we've got him solo here today, and we'll be hearing some selections unplugged, as it were, from his band's latest CD called New Morning, and hear about some upcoming performances as well. Matt Blyton standing by here. More from Matt throughout the course of the hour. This is Current State for Friday. I'm Mark Bayshore. We're glad you're along today. Michigan legislators are debating measures that would change the regulation of guns in schools and other public places. One of the measures, Senate Bill 442, would allow exempted gun owners to carry concealed weapons in gun-free zones. Supporters say shootings in public spaces like schools would go down if perpetrators knew other armed people could be in the building. Many others, including our next guest, insist guns have no place in schools and that more will not help and could worsen the situation. Many of them support a House measure that would ban all guns in Michigan schools. That's sponsored by Democratic Representative Andy Shore of Lansing. Our next guest testified against the Senate concealed carry measure last week at the state capitol. Dr. Timothy Hall is superintendent of the Sault Ste. Marie Public Schools and is a licensed gun owner and hunter. He joins me now. Mr. Hall, welcome.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me on.
Certainly. Supporters of this measure say that the various deadly school shootings illustrate that gun-free zones, like schools, are such soft targets that they've become kill zones. What do you make of that assertion?
Well, you know, there's a lot of support for that. You read some of the things that the people have done mass shootings, and they've decided that they're going to go where they're not going to face a whole lot of resistance. So it's sad to say that we're at that point in our society where we even have to have these types of discussions, but you know, it seems as if we're becoming a more violent society. There was another shooting last night, I understand, at a college somewhere. Involved a dice game, I understand.
And, true.
And so someone else got shot last night. And my concern on this bill is that, you know, as school people, we're responsible, yes, for a guaranteed and viable curriculum, but first and foremost, I believe that student safety is of paramount importance, and parents want to know when they drop their kids off at school that schools are going to do everything they can to protect those kids. You know, I'm a parent and a grandparent, and I have that same feeling. So my opposition to this is only because I just don't think that more guns in schools, even though possessed by well-intentioned, law-abiding citizens, I just don't believe that's the answer.
They're not going to stop saying that these schools are soft targets, though. I mean, it's a lot of people agree with you, and they have a fundamental revulsion at the idea of more guns in schools. But are there ways to make schools less soft targets, not quite so soft?
Well, I think a lot of schools have undertaken improvements in their security in terms of, you know, securing exterior doors locked and making sure they're all locked, adding additional security cameras, buzzer entries. We've done the same thing. Our community was very supportive of a bond issue that we passed last year, and we're nearing completion on that to where we now have lots of cameras and buzzers and walkie-talkies that can immediately contact, or they'll be here soon, that can immediately contact law enforcement if we need to. So I think lots of districts around the state and around the nation have taken some steps to try to make them safer. You know, one of the things that really kind of raised the hair in the back of my neck several years ago when we were working with our law enforcement people in the Sioux on emergency plans and active shooter plans and those types of things, and they said very clearly that, you know, your effort here is to minimize casualties. Because if some crazed person wants to come in, they're going to figure out a way in. So I realize that sort of supports the argument that they are soft targets. My alternative would be that, you know, the schools can go out and to their local communities and ask for sinking fund dollars. And we can use those dollars for improvements in facilities, those types of things, technology. My suggestion to the committee and something I think would be a little more viable alternative would be let let's change the permitted uses of sinking funds to include security personnel, and then let local districts decide if they want to raise that money and then hire law enforcement people who are trained in active shooter situations, trained in first responder situations, and I think probably would be a little better option than having, again, well-intentioned, law-abiding citizens carrying guns. I'd like to have a trained person in there to help us not only, reinforce the positive image of police in the schools, particularly with the younger kids, but also be on hand if the unthinkable actually happens.
And right now, just to clarify, sinking funds, I mean, people who pay attention to public education funding probably have heard that phrase before. Right now, real briefly, sinking funds are limited to what?
Well, primarily capital improvements in technology, and I know that there's been some expansion. They're looking to whether or not we can include buses and those types of purchases, but again, right now we cannot hire personnel with those sinking fund dollars. And to me, if a local community wants to spend the money and have trained officers in the schools, that should be a local decision. Right now, we don't have that option, and so that's just my suggestion, that let's consider expanding that use and then leave it up to the local community as to whether or not they want to apply or levy an additional millage to hire those officers.
Tim, clarify for us, though, do you feel the current situation, as undesirable as it is from time to time, do you feel the current situation would get worse if concealed carry went forward in Michigan schools?
Well, I have to tip my hat, I suppose, to the senators and soon the legislators. This is a difficult decision. You know, we're trying to balance our rights as Americans, you know, to have and bear arms. And as you correctly pointed out, you know, I have a CPL. I'm an avid hunter. I'm 100% supportive of gun rights. However, I just don't think that schools are the place for guns. And to me, that comes down to a fundamental issue. We're trying to balance, and again, the senators and the representatives have to worry about this. They've got a lot of people with a lot of strong opinions and a lot of emotion surrounding this issue. They have to balance the rights of us as Americans and gun owners with those of us who have strong concerns about how can we best protect our kids while they're at school.
It sounds as if you lack some degree of faith in your fellow gun owners' judgment. Is that fair to say that or not?
No, I don't think I lack faith in judgment. What I'm concerned about is any time that there's more of something, the possibility of an unintended consequence rises. And it's when you're leaving a major city on a holiday weekend and the traffic goes from four lanes to two lanes, there is a propensity to have more accidents there because they're all of a sudden now there are simply more cars going through that area. And while it may not be a perfect analogy or comparison, the chance of having more guns in school and with more accidents, and that accident could include just a gun dropping out of someone's pocket, or someone leaves a gun by accident, which happened, I believe, at a gym here not too long ago. A jacket was found that had a weapon in it. As far as I know, the other day, a person in another state, and I want to say Kansas, I could be wrong, but carried a weapon into a movie theater legally, and it accidentally discharged, and he shot himself. Well, again, that possibility to me is one of my big concerns, is if we have more people carrying guns, the likelihood of an accidental shooting, an accidental misfiring, the misplacement of a gun, a student finding a gun, we hear all too many times during the course of a given year the tragedy that happens when young kids find guns and then a sibling or a friend is shot. And again, I would like to leave the safety and added safety measures in our school buildings to the trained law enforcement personnel. And again, to repeat myself, good law-abiding citizens who are well-intentioned, we're not afraid of that. That's not the issue. The issue is if we have more guns, in my opinion, the likelihood for an accident increases. And as a school superintendent, responsibility for the safety of, you know, a little over 2,200 kids and almost 300 staff every day, that concerns me.
Timothy Hall is superintendent of the Sault Ste. Marie Public Schools. He's a licensed gun owner and hunter, and he opposes a Senate bill that would allow concealed carry in Michigan schools. Dr. Hall, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate your time, Mark. Thank you very much.
A small bird came to my window with a poem in its beak. I tried to pause it with my remote, but the batteries were too weak. A gentle thought sat down beside me, but I wanted something to eat. The thought was gone when I came back, so I turned on the TV. Sing out loud, probably not forbidden. We are blessed by all we give and all that we are given. A good laugh sat by the curb, but it finally drove away. I wonder where it's gone to now and what it had to say. A funky rhythm asked me to dance, but I let her pass me by. She rippled her way through the crowd. I'll remember her till I die. Sing out loud, probably not forbidden. We are blessed by all we give and all that we are given. A melody drifted on the breeze. I picked up the quiet song till I thought I got a funny look. The melody was gone. We sang a song when we were three, like any child might. A tune about a little star twinkling in the night. Sing out loud, probably not forbidden. We are blessed by all we give and all that we are given. Probably not forbidden. We are blessed by all we give and all that we are given. Sing out loud. Probably not forbidden. We are blessed by all we give and all that we are given.
East Lansing's Matt Blyton, live in Studio S here on WKAR's Current State. It's a live music Friday. More from Matt before the hour is through. We'll chat him up in a little bit and ask him about his brand new guitar. That's a pretty new guitar we're hearing today. It's Current State here on 90.5 WKAR. This Sunday at the Wharton Center's Payssant Theater, a group of puppets will present fairy tales like you've never seen them or smelled them. Current State's Melissa Benmark has more. That is the story introduction of the week. Ms. Benmark, what's going on?
Well, Mark, I can't guarantee that the stinky cheese man will actually be stinky in person, but it does sound like quite an irreverent and fun show. And one of the humans behind the puppets in the Stinky Cheese Man is Michael Horner. He's the associate artistic director at the Mesner Puppet Theater. I talked with him recently and started out asking him what kind of puppets exactly will they be using in this performance.
We work with a wide variety of puppets. We try to explore all styles, really. Here at Mesner Puppet Theater, we're kind of known for doing rod puppets, which are puppets on sticks, but we do everything from hand puppets to mouth puppets. We do shadow puppets. We try to incorporate those into shows. Every once in a while, we do marionettes, string puppets. Those are a bit trickier to present, but we try to include a bit of everything.
Did you say mouth puppets?
Mouth puppets. That's kind of the generic term for what people would call a Muppet type puppet, where your hand is basically inside the mouth.
How long have you been in the puppeting business?
Well, I've been working professionally with the Meisner Puppet Theater for 9 years. That's full-time. But I've been playing with puppets since I was a kid. My parents did puppet ministry in our church when I was about 3 years old, and I kind of got hooked on it. We had puppets around the house. My dad made most of the puppets, and so I just got inspired by this idea that you could create this whole world yourself and then present it to an audience.
Do you remember the first puppet that sort of that you learned on?
Well, I think the first one that I remember was a mouse puppet called Stevie, I think. And my parents, part of what they did with their puppet ministry was they'd go around to churches and teach kids how to make these simple puppets out of foam rubber. And one of the ones that I had in that style was this orange-headed boy named Stevie, and I think I put him through a lot of wear and tear, and finally I remember he kind of fell apart and he ended up in the trash, but he was one of the first ones I remember.
So give us an idea of how many people are in a production like the Stinky Cheese Man. I mean, I'm assuming that one person can only be behind one puppet at a time, right?
Well, actually, Stinky Cheese Man has two puppeteers in it, and with those two puppeteers, we do actually bring on quite a few characters. You know, we've got two hands each, so there's a potential for at least four. But at one point in the show, I think there's one, two, three, four, five maybe on stage at once. That's a lot of kind of handing off back and forth, and you know, at some point someone's clutching all five at once while another prop comes on. So it's you know, there's tricks in puppetry using you can do to get more puppets on stage than it would seem physically possible.
You know, I know everybody has work-related nightmares, and I always thought radio nightmares were unique, but what you just described sounds to me like there must be dreams.
Yes, it's interesting talking to different performers, and especially puppeteers. Puppeteers have a similar, the nightmare puppeteer scenario that we often have, and I've had, is that you're setting up the show, as you're setting up, the audience is already coming in, and you're not ready. And, you know, you got things partially set up, and then you realize, I don't have this puppet, or I don't have this part of the stage, and the audience is there, waiting for a show in 5 minutes, and what are you going to do? That's the puppeteer nightmare scenario.
That sounds truly hair-raising, actually. how did the Meisner Puppet Company decide they wanted to do the Stinky Cheese Man?
Paul Meisner, the founder of our company, has worked for years with a children's bookstore here in Kansas City called The Reading Reptile. And it's a great little bookstore, and they bring in authors all the time, nationally known children's authors, to speak and appear at the store. And over the years, John Sheska, author of Stinky Cheese Man, has come and appeared there, and Paul met him and you know, just inquired, say, hey, would you be interested in us adapting your couple of your books into puppet shows? And John was really big on that idea and really excited about it. And so that's kind of how we came to adapt the book as a play, and that we met John Sheska and just kind of asked him, and he was open to it.
When the book came out, I remember reading it to a young friend of mine, and a lot of it is in the form of these visual puns that have to do with the actual structure of the book, like characters being squashed by the table of contents.
Sure.
How do you translate something like that into a puppet show?
Well, we do show that. Kind of the main central prop or backdrop of the play is a giant book that opens up, and characters kind of come out of it, or you know, come from behind it. And then the narrator, Jack, is turning the pages and reading off the pages. So that's kind of how we solved it, by making the book itself kind of the backdrop, kind of a central set piece of the show. That allows us to play with it and have pages fall out and characters get squished between the pages and fun things like that. Very puppety things.
puppets, of course, have been around for a long time in many to most cultures. How do kids raised in the age of digital animation now respond when they experience puppets, maybe for the first time?
Well, it's interesting. In the past several years, and I've talked to other puppeteers, not just here, but just in Germany, and they have the same, they hear the same thing from kids, that kids will watch the play and then afterwards say, that was a great movie. Somehow, you know, kids are looking at things on screens all the time, and they don't see, I don't think, they don't see much live performance. And, you know, even after we introduce ourselves after the play and show how we run the puppets, they're still kind of in their mind that this was something pre-recorded, something that was a play, or it was a movie of some sort. So it's sort of our job, especially as puppeteers in a puppet theater, to start training audiences about what live theater is, and that you're seeing something live performed by live people, and you know there's some interaction, and you know the performer is listening and responding to the audience. And it's kind of a learning curve, I think, for kids to realize that's what they're seeing, and it trains them to be theater goers then when they're older.
Well, Michael Horner, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.
Matt Blyton is a singer-songwriter from East Lansing. He ordinarily performs in a band setting. He's here solo here today. Been great to have you on the program, Matt.
Glad
you're here. How often do you get to play solo?
I spent a lot of years playing solo, but once a month or so, solo with a couple musicians. At work, I play solo periodically, but mostly it's with, you know, five or six other players, which is such a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're glad you're here today. We've got what sounds like the title cut here from your band's most recent CD. The CD is called New Morning. This is called New Morning Sun. Let's listen to Matt Blyton.
Trying to open up my door to you. Don't know how it closed again. Oh, yes, I mean it this time, too. Yes, there is a way. Standing by the scary door, feeling alone again. Hoping that I'm leaning to a new morning. Morning light is seeping through windows of a darkened room. Nighttime is convincing. It leaves no place to hide. Light changes the scenery. Shadows retreat again. The darkest night is followed by a new morning. Pink-bellied clouds stacked in the east. Black cows are waiting by the gate. Color will be gone soon when the real sun comes out. Can I fly right over my thoughts, moving through pastel clouds, leave the heavy world below in a new morning? Closes his eyes to make everything disappear. My mind watches reruns, inside and alone. Standing by the scary door, I pull my hat down low. Take the first step into a new morning. Trying to open up my door to you. don't know how it closed again. Oh, yes, I mean it this time, too. Yes, there is a way. Standing by the scary door, feeling alone again, hoping that I'm leaning to a new morning. Hoping that I'm leaning to a new morning.
Matt Blyton here on Current State's Live Music Friday. New Morning Sun is what it's called. Matt and his band will perform at the Robin Theater in Lansing's Rio Town coming up on November 20th on a bill with guitarist Eldon Kelly. Did you grow up in the Lansing area, Matt?
I didn't. Grew up in western Pennsylvania.
Oh. What brought you to Michigan?
Well,
typical family drama or what?
Well, we spent 6 years. My wife was working at Mayo Clinic, and I was Mr. Mom during that time. Mm. And looking, I had a degree, but I was looking to come back to school and study writing. And Michigan State offered something that I was looking for, and also a place where she could work developing microscopes in Okemos. So we brought our three kids here and been living in East Lansing.
What kind of fantastic writing did you want to do?
I was interested in fiction, mm-hmm. But I ran into a friend who said that if I wanted to learn how to be a better writer, then doing that master's degree would be fantastic. If I wanted a job, then I should find something that might lead in that direction. Mm-hmm. And went into the teacher education department, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I've been working ever since.
But you're able to get out, obviously, a tremendous creative impulse. You write a lot of these songs,
yes,
right? So
yep.
there's an avenue here that's open to you.
Get to do both.
Yeah. What's your first musical memory?
I don't remember it, but I was, my mother says that I stood up on a picnic table when I was three and sang Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, not very well, but with great enthusiasm. All I needed was an audience, apparently.
You're performing solo today, but you typically perform with your band. What does what we've heard today sound differently in a band context, besides just being louder? Do you perform a lot of the same songs, I guess?
Yes.
Okay.
These songs started, you know, with me and a guitar, and like what you've heard today. But, for example, this New Morning song tune on the CD, it has Drew Howard playing pedal steel.
He was just on this program about 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
Thereabouts.
What a fantastic player. And so that fills up so much. Then it's sort of a duet between what I'm doing and what he's doing. And then playing with guitarists like Jim Green, just fantastic. Ray Camilleri is on the CD as well. It's such a pleasure to see what they add. That's so much beyond what I would have even imagined.
Yeah, for the show at the Robin Theater in Lansing next month, the Matt Blyton Band will share the bill with Eldon Kelly, a great local guitar player. We've had him perform on Live Music Friday here in Current State. Have you worked with him in the past?
We've played together. We have a mutual friend, Linda Abar, who will be singing with him, and she's been on the CDs, and we've been playing with her for years. Fantastic player. Eldon Kelly's just incredible.
Mm. Well, before Matt Blyton plays us out here on Current State, I'll remind you that Monday on our program, the U.S. Constitution guarantees the right to an attorney, but underfunded and disjointed public defense systems mean that many poor people accused of crimes don't get adequate representation in court. A new set of state standards from the Michigan Indigent Defense Commission hopes to change that. We talked to Executive Director Jonathan Sachs, as well as the chair of the commission, Jim Fisher. Plus, as the weather gets cooler, you might be thinking about warming up your kitchen with some new fall recipes. Michigan cookbook author Maureen Aboud joins us to talk about what seasonal foods to incorporate into your fall feasts. We hope to see you on Monday. In the meantime, have a great weekend. And we want to thank Matt Blyton again for being our Live Music Friday guest here on Current State. Matt plays us out. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
need to run or fight.